Hey, what's up, y'all? I am so excited to share with you guys about this application called Anchor. I've been on Anchor for about a year. I just hit 1,000 listens, so I'm very excited about that. I don't even know 1,000 people. But all I had to do was go on my App Store or your Google Store, download the application, hit the plus symbol, and you can start recording right from there. You can also go on and edit, and you can make money from this podcast as well. Don't worry. You ain't got to go through all of that crazy stuff like posting it in all these million places. Anchor will do that for you. So it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. All right? And you can earn money, as I said, with no minimum listenership. All right? So all you got to do is download the free application or go to Anchor FM to get started. It's just that easy.
Listen, are you ready for
Reggie's Expression?
Heal a little more with
Reggie's Expression.
Calm down when the talk is real.
Reggie's Expression.
Neglect and how you feel.
Reggie's Expressions.
This is
Reggie's Expressions.
This is
Reggie's Expressions.
Guys, if you are in the local Orlando area, this is for you. I have to tell you guys this story. It is probably the best story ever. A few years ago, Carlos and I were frequenting the local Orlando farmers market that they have. And the cool thing about it is they have a lot of sights and sounds and a lot of things out there that's great, enjoyable, good food, and just a good atmosphere. Well, obviously, you know, with the coronavirus, that has been limited, but the farmer's market is open again. And it has one of our favorite people there. It's called Worthy Cakes. You can find them on social media, and you can also find them on their website, www.worthycakes.com. Now, this is the best way to eat cake, all right? They are in a mason jar, packed with so much goodness and flavor. For any flavor of cake you can think of, she has red velvet. She also has fudge brownie and birthday cake. And she also cooks them in gluten-free. As she says, cooking and baking cakes is not work. It is fun for her. She enjoys it. You can go to the website, www.worthycakes.com. You can order. And you can go to her physical location, which is in the Winter Garden area. And she will also be able to service you there. Okay? Her hours of business is from 10:30 to 6:30, Tuesday through Saturday. She's closed Sunday and Monday because she's normally at the farmer's market. And she also does the farmer's market in local Winter Garden, too, as well. So go down and check her out. And if you do go check her out, please let her know that Reggie sent you. Because Carlos and I absolutely love those cakes. I'm on my way down there now. I don't even care about the farmer's market. Just kidding, I do. And I'm so excited to have her cakes because it has been so long. And I'm excited that she has a storefront too. So go check her out. Tell her that Reggie sent you. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. All right? We're going to get back into the topic, y'all. Thanks for listening again. Huh? No, I am. I just
put it away for now.
Yeah. My bad, man. Because I had already shared the Facebook and I didn't want all of like the setup stuff to be on live. So.
Oh, okay. I got you. You had already went live.
Yeah, I had had a moment and I should have did it earlier where I could get everything set up, but I'm pretty much set up. I got my setup is very minimal, but you know, I just didn't want people to be like, oh, they so unorganized. What they doing over there? They ain't got no podcast. Just two people. Okay. So how are you, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Very pleasant day.
Well, I'm very thankful and appreciative that you are here and that you've given us the opportunity to speak. I think that is absolutely amazing. So, you know, I think that, you know, my intention, you know, with my podcast, just so you can like hear my mission statement, mm-hmm. it's really about just trying to uplift us in spaces where, you know, we aren't visible in a lot of spaces, you know what I'm saying? So I think what you do is pretty dope. You know, I mean, the fact that I dabbled in it, you know, for like 2 seconds, I thought was kind of cool, but
yeah.
You know, the fact that you get in and you do it on a, you know, pretty consistent basis is awesome. And I just want to give you an opportunity to, you know, show a platform where we exist.
Exactly.
There's a lot of us out there, but there isn't very many of us that get the opportunity, you know, to shine like so many of our, you know, other counterparts do. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, very true.
There was this guy, his name was, let me not say his name out. I'm not going to say his name because I'll go back and edit it. But anyway, I was, we started around the same time.
Uh-huh.
And it just seemed like a few months in, and this is what kind of got me discouraged, like he was leaps and bounds ahead of where I was.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it frustrated me because it was like, what am I doing, you know? But it does take a little bit more grind than what I gave it. It was about 6 months that I put into it. So
yeah,
you have to do, I mean, it was good with getting people, but I just didn't, I got into the numbers and, you know, that kind of fucked me up for a little bit. And, you know, I don't regret not doing it because I really just had a lot of shit going on. I just can't, you know, keep it all together.
It's too
much with work and I don't have a family. You do. So, you know, it just wasn't something that was sustainable for me. I don't have that much of love for games to do it. I appreciate the art, you know, but, you know, I mean, there'll be nice where I'd be like, oh, you got to stream. Oh my God. I don't feel like streaming. And then I would get the guilt of not streaming, you know, when I didn't stream. It's like, oh man, you should have streamed last night. God, dog.
Yeah, that's definitely a real feeling.
So you really have to kind of put it in perspective. So for me, it was just like, you know what, I'm going to pick and choose my battles. So it was literally right after that where I decided that, because I was kind of on a hiatus with my podcast. And then after that, I kind of came back. So look at you with the little promotional, black is what, black?
Oh, black is motivation. This wasn't even intentional. This is the shirt I put on after after we got back from our outing, you know? Just my roundhouse shirt. I got bleach stains at the bottom of it.
Yeah, but it's perfectly cropped where I can see, you know.
I guess so. I ain't even think about that.
Sick, man. Don't be coming up here trying to act like I don't. Come on. No, I feel you, brother. I feel you. Black Fist Motivation, he actually had a pod, or he has.
Oh, had. We just haven't went live in like a year, you know, so we just haven't done it in a while. Like pretty much when I started
gaming
and streaming, that kind of got put on a back burner, you know.
So I'm
ready whenever you are.
Okay.
I'm gonna share it to my page whenever we go live.
All right. So what do you like to be called? Gene, Eugene,
Gene is fine.
Sergeant Fowler.
Nude. Okay. Gene, just Gene.
All right. And he from Tifton. He's, you know, Tift County.
Yeah.
So he's a, the day I die.
Yeah, he's a Georgia boy. I knew we had something in common.
Right.
And Reggie's. And by the way, I'm gonna do like a little intro, you know, just kind of letting people know, you know, how I got to know you a little bit, and
of course.
And then I'll, you know, just kind of the idea will be very casual. It won't be like, I don't have a specific format, and if we don't get to all the questions, it's fine. And I really would like this to be kind of a free flowing conversation. I do like to talk about current events too. So, you know, after we kind of get the meat and potatoes out of it, I'll probably ask you about some things that, you know, I won't put you on the spot. I was actually thinking about asking you about Kevin Samuels, because, you know,
you can ask me anything.
You know, Kevin Samuels is pretty divisive, right? He
he definitely has a unique approach.
Yeah, he breaks up a lot of. I mean, we can talk about that, but I don't want you to think at all that, you know, I'm trying to bombard anything. I just,
there's no blind side in here. I can talk about anything. There's no off limits subjects with me.
Okay. I just don't want to get up off there and you be like, man, I ain't never going on that shit no more. Nah. And we curse, by the way. So, I mean, I don't bleep any of that stuff out of my is explicit. So, you know, I ain't vulgar, but, you know, who fucks and shits don't scare me. So,
okay. Sounds good.
All right. So what you gonna be on it? You're not gonna be on it. Okay. And we might end up having to do something with this situation too.
Hey,
that ain't gonna work. All righty. All right, preparing to stream. Let me get up on my, okay, setting up your live.
Oh, it is live.
Here we go. Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? What's going on? Good evening. Give me a couple minutes. I'm gonna share this to my social medias. I got a friend to the room, a friend to the podcast, and a friend to just around the world on Facebook. I have Mr. Retro Mew 64, but known to us as Black Curry. And really cool dude in the gaming space. He's been in gaming for a while. And yeah, we've had an opportunity to kind of see each other around the block, you know, with gaming. And he came out and supported, you know, he saw the black face and was like, hey,
exactly. Exactly.
Because in this space sometimes, and he's really the expert, I did partake into streaming for a little bit, for about 6 months, you know, when Mario 35 was going pretty hard and strong. And, you know, I got into it and there was some things that I learned, but he, you know, he's been doing it for considerably longer. And I think the anomaly was that for me, you don't really see a lot of black folks in that space. You see a few of us were speckled out there, because you got a Black Retro Gamer, BRG. You got Awesome Black Guy. Awesome Black Guy. And I just came into vision of Miss Pinky, you know, a black female gamer, which is rare as shit.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, she was doing her thing. I try my best to go out and support as much as I can, but it takes a grind. It's interesting. And we're going to let Mr. Fowler give us an opportunity to kind of explain how he got into it and, you know, pretty much wherever else the conversation takes us. But thank you guys for joining. I appreciate it. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share Reggie's Expressions on Facebook and Instagram. And check out that theme song. I know y'all heard it because it's the truth. Homeboy Jack Fuller, he did the damn thing on that shit. Like, I feel like I'm real official now with that theme song. So, but anyway, Mr. Fowler, what's up?
So I start by saying thank you for inviting me on to your podcast. I enjoy and I like when people that look like us do these type things and we have these type ventures, you know, because you don't see a lot of us out there. And so whenever we do get a platform, whether big, small, doesn't matter. I enjoy whenever we can not only do it ourselves, but also at the same time, invite others onto each other's platform, you know, and I think that is very, I think that is lacking, the communication and the teamwork effort. I think that's lacking amongst people that look like us. So I applaud you and I thank you for inviting me on.
No worries.
My setup is kind of weird. My camera is here. However, my computer is here. So if I'm looking okay, this way, I'm looking at you.
Right. Yeah. My iPad is to the left of me, so I feel you. I'm the same way. And gotcha. Then I got my dogs who feel like Kyrie just wants to be on camera because that's what he does.
Yeah.
Nico and Tuzi are hanging out here. But yeah, no worries, man. I mean, I think you made it easy. You know, you probably was just scrolling through Facebook and happened to see, you know, see just the same way that we're all introduced to each other. You see the lives that go on. And, right. You know, you probably saw me talking shit on Mario 35 and I tried my best to get number one. And, you know, we kind of, you know, just communicated here and there. And, you know, when my mom passed away in February, you know, he said some kind words and, you know, it's been very surface stuff, but we got an opportunity to kind of bond a little bit just going through his chats and stuff like that. So he's really a cool dude. You know, I only know him as Black Curry. I really honestly and truly just found out his name like today, you know. But it wasn't not for nothing. It wasn't like he was like, you don't need to know my name. It was more or less like, you know, I knew him as Black Curry. And I think that name is pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know, I would prefer people call me that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But not that your name ain't. Anyway, we're going to leave that alone. But yeah, it was just one of those situations where I felt like, you know what, he's pretty cool. And I just appreciated the small, you know, little bit of love that you gave. And I was like, all right, you know, yeah. So if I see him around the street, I'll make sure I speak. And then after that, it just kind of came into, you know, a mutual respect for what you do and also putting myself in your shoes. So I feel you, man.
I appreciate it.
So you're a man of many trades, I know. I mean, just a little bit that I've gotten to know of you. You do a lot of things. He does have a podcast. Check the shirt, y'all. So go check that out. That's on Facebook. He said it wasn't intentional, but who knows, really?
It was not.
But you also are in the military. Is it safe to say that?
Yes, I am active duty military. Coming up on 13 years this year.
Wow, 13 years. So you joined when you were 13 is what you're saying.
No, I'm actually 30. I joined when I was 17.
Oh, this cat talking like 30. I'm 30. I'm old.
I feel like I'm old. Old as hell, actually.
Well, you know, the military can do that to you, but, you know, but that's cool.
Right.
You've been in for 13 years. What's your job? Your what do you do?
So by MOS, by trade, I'm trained as a unit supply specialist. However, I'm a current assignment as an equal opportunity advisor, which is by far the best job I've ever had since I joined the military. So I work a lot in the realms of discrimination. And okay. So I have a somewhat of a smaller influence on the climate as far as race relations and gender relations and amongst different cultures within the Army. So that's what I'm doing now. It's a pretty sweet gig.
So this is kind of your wheelhouse then. This stuff, you know, kind of what we were talking about is kind of what you do. Nice.
Yeah, I think it was all meant to be. It all happened for a reason.
Yeah, I was in the Army too, and you and I had an opportunity to speak, but I was a 92 Yankee as well, you know. Mighty Mike 2 Hype was, you know, that was
92 Yank dog.
Yeah, I went to many, many years before he did, but I went to AIT at Fort Lee. I'm having a hard time remembering it, but Fort Lee, because I got out in, I went in 99, I got out in 04. So that was about 17 years ago, actually, now that I've gotten out, had a whole nother life. You know, I've been out longer than I was in. But yeah, it was, looking back at it, you know, the military for me was Full Metal Jacket when I was in. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Well, it was a lot like that where, you know, get down, you know, drop and give me 70 and all the other stuff.
Right.
You know, smoking people. I'm not saying that that stuff don't go on now. They were rampant with that shit. It was a lot of, you know, it was a different army back then. Right. So as things evolved. But
can you do me a favor and share something like that? Share it to.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Carlos is here. He's off camera, by the way.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how are you?
But so you think you're going to do 20 years? I mean, at this point, you've done 13. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to finish it out. It's smooth sailing from here on out. So it's none of the hua extra army stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm
just riding it out now.
Are you airborne?
I am not. I put in for it numerous times, and I have to be the only person.
We the last of the last for everything.
Right. And I feel like I'm the only one who actually wants to go airborne who hasn't been granted that opportunity, which is insane.
Yeah. Are you air assault?
I am not air assault. I am a regular soldier.
You ain't regular. Come on now.
I'm just a regular Joe.
Yeah. It's funny because on your Facebook a few weeks ago, I think you shared a picture of when you had just joined the military. I think it was like 09 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was looking, I was like, damn, this kid looks like he's 13 years old. Like he looks, you know, super young. But I mean, coming in at 17 years old, you know, and having to do the world's job is, you know, it could be a lot to take for somebody of any age, really. But, you know, again, we appreciate what you do as a soldier and, you know, being able to be the greatest of who you are, because it definitely looks like you're living your life. So thank you for your service.
Thank you as well.
No worries, man. I you know, we paved the way for you young cats out there to be
right. You really did.
I'm just playing. So, you know, forgive me, guys, because I actually want to, you know, conduct a dignified interview because I feel Mr. Fowler deserves it. So I'm going to go to my questions so I can make sure that I stay on topic. But yeah, how did you get into gaming?
So I've been gaming since I was 4 years old. I just remember my mom, she brought home the original Nintendo, the original NES,
right.
and she bought Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt for my brother and I. And ever since then, I was hooked. And I remember the first video game I ever completed and beat in its entirety was Super Mario Brothers 1.
Right.
And, you know, if you compare video games to from then to now, mm-hmm. video games were much harder back then. So I look at that as a huge accomplishment as a five-year-old completing that game. So ever since then, I was hooked. It was like, I have to play a game and I have to complete it in its entirety. And it brings me joy and it's a stress reliever as well, you know? So
you are five. How I got into Nicole at Super Mario. I was like 15 years old by the time I was able to get and save the princess. You know what I'm saying? You know,
oh,
the
wow.
gone by the time I got to it, you know what I'm saying?
But that's right.
So yeah, you really did have a love for it at that time. That was something that, wow, that's good. That's cool. So how did the YouTube gaming kind of, you know, because I wouldn't say it's relatively new. I've seen it a lot. I guess it is kind of new to Facebook, but I've seen it a lot on YouTube. But how did you get into the gaming element or the streaming part of gaming?
So streaming, COVID happened, right?
True.
And I was in Florida. I was in school in Florida. And when COVID kicked off, and then we had to graduate early, and I had to hurry up and get to Texas. Mm-hmm. I got to Texas and everything shut down. There's no work. There isn't anything going on. And so I found myself playing video games, and my family, they were in Georgia at the time because we were in transition, and COVID stopped a whole lot of stuff. So I was just at home in a one bedroom apartment at the time, just playing video games from sun up to sundown. And I just, I came across a streamer by the name of Mama Lee, and we were playing Mario Kart together. Mm-hmm. And the experience I had with her, and she was very approachable. She's talking to people. She's a very nice lady. We were just talking and whatnot, and talking about Mario Kart. And she's like, "Hey, you're pretty good. You know, you should stream this."
Right.
I was like, "That's a thing."
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thing that I can. I knew it's a thing, but I didn't know it was a thing that I can do. Like,
right.
True. I didn't know anything about it. And so then after we got done playing the game, I just started researching stuff and I started streaming. I was like, well, if I'm going to be playing video games, I might as well stream it so other people can watch it and enjoy it, you know?
Right, right. And that's, well, that was similar, the story, you know, COVID happened. And I think what got me interested, to be honest, was I Mario over the years had become like a staple and mainstay in Nintendo, and I've always loved Super Mario 1, same as you, right? And no matter the amount of times I beat it, it was just a insatiable appetite, like, damn, you know, I can't get enough of this. And, you know, it was really kind of just sitting around bored, you know, going and seeing the people that I saw doing it. And I was like, man, I could do that shit. You know, I could probably do it. So, you know, when I decided I could do it, I had to go and buy all the stuff. And I was like, damn, I can't do that shit. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's the kicker.
That's a lot.
Right.
So it was like, ooh, do I really want to do it? And I was like, you know, I said to Carlos, I said, I think I'm kind of interested. And he was like, well, if you want to do it, you deserve it. You hard work, whatever, you know, you should do it. So I would say about October, the latter part of October, when Mary Fowler, he better do 20. Is that your wife?
Yeah, that's my old lady.
Hey, Miss Mary. Hey, Miss Fowler, how are you? I just swiped to the comments, my bad. But yeah, it, you know, the setup, you know, I had to learn OBS. I don't know what, you know, what you use, but I had to learn a lot of the systems to. And it was interesting, the behind the scenes part of it was what intrigued me, but that grind is something serious, you know what I'm saying?
It is difficult starting off, like, yeah, just researching all this stuff. And you, most people think that they're just playing the game. Like, no, it's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes and a lot of money being poured into this stuff that people just don't realize. I remember it's like, I got to a point to where this stuff, it wasn't working. You know, I play a bunch of retro, and so it makes it more difficult when you're playing on the original consoles. I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I don't even want to do this. And then my old lady gave me some words of encouragement, which honestly, at the time, I didn't even care for the words of encouragement. More importantly, she came with solutions like, hey, do this, try this. And if it wasn't for that, I probably would have quit. And so I do appreciate my old lady for that.
How long y'all been married?
We got married in 2016. So okay. 5 years.
5 years. Yeah, yeah. You guys got married a year after me and Carlos. We got married in 15, the December of 2015. So how long? Yeah, and y'all been together for a while, right?
Oh yeah, we've been together for longer than that, definitely.
Well, congrats to that. That's awesome sauce. I think he almost forgot, but she put 6 years over here.
Oh, so six, five, 6 years. 15?
Sure you didn't get married in 15, sir?
It's one of them. I don't know.
Giving you a lifeline, homie. She's like, hey,
I don't know. It's one of them.
Come on, give me that gear. That's what she said. But yeah, that's you know, sometimes our spouses can see things in us that we can't see in ourselves. So I'm glad that she was able to have that conversation and solutions, because, you know, here we are being able to have this conversation now. So that's awesome. So when you think of gaming, and as I, you know, kind of alluded to earlier, there's not a lot of us involved. Right. Why do you think that is? Or is that the case? Is that just my perception? Or...
So it's definitely not, it's a fact. There's a lot of truth to that. And and there's, I think there's a plethora of reasons for it. But just to name a few, one is especially with the younger generation, I would say from, I'll say age 32 and below, is the stigma of it being lame. Everybody does it. We know a lot of people who play video games, but nobody wants to admit that they play video games. And I think it's getting better now with social media becoming a thing, a more prominent thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just that stigma of, okay, that's lame. I don't want to do that. That's for nerds. Yeah. And that kind of, it deters people from wanting to broadcast and show that, hey, I play video games. I'm good at it. Whether I'm good at it or not, this is something I enjoy doing. Mm. But I think that's the main thing that people just look at it. It has a negative stigma attached to it when it comes to Black people and video games that I think is slowly going away, but
yeah,
still there.
I agree. I think that, you know, I mean, it's definitely a real platform. And then also when you see in the media, even when I went back, there was something that I watched. It was called Game Over on Netflix. Which was actually really cool. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but it kind of...
Yeah, I watched it, yeah. I watched like the first two episodes.
Yeah. And they talk about just, you know, how the video game came up, and I can't remember that gentleman's name, but he was a Black man that created the first console, you know? Damn it.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name as well, but yeah, I was shocked. I did not know that.
First Black man to, because I feel like that's important. We have to make sure that we spotlight that. But, you know, they were telling the first Black man to create.
He created the first the cartridge based video game.
Yeah.
Create.
Just serving video games. We gonna get back to that. I promise you, we gonna shout out that gentleman. He's since passed on, but you know, when we go and we look at it, like Jerry even Lawson. Yes, Jerry Lawson. Go on ahead, love. He found him. Jerry Lawson was. I don't know what's happening. I'm acting like I don't know how to use a phone. 02. Yeah, and they had his daughter on too. His daughter and his son. That kind of talked about it, and they were talking about his legacy. So Jerry Lawson, look him up if you're interested in, you know, getting some more information on it. But that was something, because I didn't know that. And even with that being said, in the spaces that we saw were all white faces, you know, people that would do the competitions and things like that. It was all, and you know, no disrespect to that. I mean, it happens, and you know, it's definitely, I think partly why we don't, because we didn't see ourselves in that, in those spaces. You know what I'm saying? What we saw was people that didn't look like us, you know?
Right.
Even though we liked it, you know, some of our parents might've been like, you know, they didn't want to necessarily nurture it because like you said, oh, video games, that's no, you need to go do something else. You need to figure something else. You need to go out there and do something. Go outside. You know what I'm saying? So I think that did have a lot to do with it. That, I mean, for me, I had a game console when I was like 8 or 9, and then I didn't play again for maybe 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 18 or 19, you know, in the military when I got my, and at the time they weren't really selling Nintendos and all that other stuff. So, I mean, like they're selling it, you know, the classics that you can get now. And then it wasn't until my, like, I would say 5 years ago when I got my first Nintendo Classic, and then I got the Sega Genesis Classic. They have all the games on the hard drives, and you know, it's just something I would do on the sidelines. And then I got into Mario 35. I actually had a Switch Lite initially. And I had it for like 2 weeks, and I was like, man, I need a bigger screen, because I wanted to,
right.
I went out and I bought that Switch. That Switch was $299, and I was like, right. I had to do it. And you know, and that it just came into, you know, kind of an ecosystem at that point. So, you know, it's interesting to watch. Even though I don't stream anymore, I still find myself sometimes just kind of going and watching other people, because it really is interesting. It really is, you know, almost an art form, actually.
Right.
You know, and if you can get people that you can connect with, it makes that much more better. So the next question that I had was, when it comes to, do you feel that there's an extra set of challenges that Black people, or, you know, Black people have in this space of gaming?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
Definitely. So with that, I'm just going to be quite frank with it. You know, a lot of people just don't want to watch Black streamers. You know, I did an experiment on this, right? And there's like a few factors or different kind of categories, you know, race-based and gender-based, right? So you have Black streamers who have a certain type of audience, white streamers have a certain type of audience, females have a certain type of audience, right. Males have a certain type of audience, right? I did a little experiment, right? Mm-hmm. To where I would stream, and I would at the end, I would see how many viewers I had, I would look at all the statistics, and then I would have my old lady stream, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my old lady, she's Jordanian, she's Middle Eastern, but she has lighter skin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers were astronomically different, you know?
Hold on that thought. I saw your mom on the last live y'all did.
Oh, and yes.
Your mama was super cute. She had me rolling that night. I was like, go to here, mama. My bad, man. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, both our parents watch the stream, which I appreciate the support.
That's awesome. But it was an astronomical difference in terms of when she did it and when you did it.
Oh, yes. It's crazy. And the part that got me, because I knew it was going to be different, but this is a good segue to my next point. The actual people who watch, I'm talking about people who I assume were close friends, because, you know, they, whenever you start a business, whenever you start anything, you know, a side hustle, anything, your biggest supporters are going to be strangers. The people around you won't even support. They won't even watch. They won't even click a share button. And so what I noticed was a lot of my friends and family, they would tune in whenever my old lady was streaming, mm-hmm. versus when I would stream. And I think that for us, people that look like us, that's something that needs to be vocalized, right? And with that, we just got to expand our audiences and stop and not get so caught up on who is supporting us, because we already know that close and immediate, or not immediate family, but close friends and family are just not going to be there for each other. And I think that's like that we don't want to see each other succeed sometimes, right? Because some of these same people, they watch streamers. They just don't watch Black streamers.
So
that's like a hurdle and a challenge for us, but it's something that most of us, we realize early on in streaming. And so we take that with a grain of salt, and we keep it pushing. Right. And to get back to the original point, a lot of people just don't want to see Black streamers. Like, they'd rather see it from a certain demographic. But at the same time, I don't want to make it seem like there's no support for Black streamers, because there is. I've definitely met streamers such as yourself, mm-hmm. And the aforementioned Mama Lee, who has definitely been very cool people, very supportive, and just cool, fun to be around, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not all negative, you know. You just gotta get in where you fit in.
Right, that's true. And I think you said something that's pretty interesting, and I found myself in that position too, where the people that are closer to you, those are the first ones that you like advertise to, like, hey, this is what I want to do. Right. And then you do it and it's like, hey, so-and-so, did you catch my streaming on Thursday? Nah, man, I ain't even, yeah, I was over there, you know what? And I'm like, but you remember I had said that I was going to be streaming? Yeah, dog, right. I couldn't even, I had to, but I know, but you said that you was going to watch though. Oh, you been, oh, okay. You know, we kind of, I'm not going to lie, like I had, there was a point when I think I was doing the podcast and I was doing the, at the same time, and I had to have a conversation with the people that I love, you know, and I had to say, you know, this is something I'm into. So if you support me, then you support this. Right. And, you know, I don't expect you to, you know, spend hours and hours on end, like looking, because it's not your bag. But at the same time too, if I can't convince you, somebody who knows me, how am I going to convince anybody else to come and watch me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that I found that interesting too. And it's funny that you said that, because I feel like, you know, that is the case a lot of times when it comes to, you know, any of our endeavors. Sometimes, you know, it's a little deeper than that. Some people just, you know, hate because, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily hate, but some people just, you know, aren't really into seeing people succeed or whatever the case may be to get them to not wanna. But I feel like that's something that we could take a note from, because I feel like other folks, other communities come together, you know what I'm saying? Yes. But when us, it's almost kind of a, you know, at times, you know, it's kind of a, of my world versus your world. Like, I don't have time for your world because I got so much going on in my world. You know what I'm saying?
And that's like, and it's crazy when you think about it, because it's like, we don't want to support each other until we get to a certain stature, right, a certain amount of fame. Mike Jones, the rapper back in the day, a bunch of years ago, he said it perfectly. Back then, they didn't want me. Ooh. Now I'm hot, they all on me. And it's crazy. So my best friend, right? His name is
Damon. Who was it again? Who was it? What was his name?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones. 281-330-8004.
Yeah, man. Who? Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones. Right. Who? Mike Jones, man. It's Mike Jones, all right?
And my best friend, we talk about this often, like every other day. And so this is very interesting to me, right? So everything we just explained, here's it in the actual real world, very practical, right? So I've been streaming, right? Some of my close friends and family, I just don't watch, right? But these same people, these same exact people, inbox me and call me, text me, wanting to get into streaming and want to ask me how do they do it, what equipment they need. It's like, wow, so I'm not good enough for you to watch, but I'm good enough for you to take advice from. Mm-hmm. I find that very odd and interesting. It's like, so you want me to help you get to where you want to be, but you don't want to reciprocate and help me get to where I want to be.
Right.
I would never understand that, because I'm a huge supporter. I'm a huge supporter. I shout out people all the time. I share their whatever they got going on. I don't care if they got a 9-to-5, they selling cars. Right. I'm sharing that out. Hey, go see this person. Or I got a friend, personal training, owns their own gym. Like, hey, go see this person. Somebody selling shoes. Hey, I got a friend selling shoes, a clothing apparel. I'm big on that kind of stuff, but it is rarely, rarely reciprocated.
And I'm teaching. And you know, I'm a lot like you in that instance too. You know, when I see somebody that I can connect with, I'm a very huge supporter as well. Like I'm all in, you know what I'm saying? So if right. there's an opportunity where I can, you know, share or, you know, my platform, you know, it's not a, to me, it's not a matter of, okay, well, they gonna take my shine. It's a matter of uplifting us all, because when we win, everybody wins. You know what I'm saying? I akin it to the situation last year with Juneteenth. Like, you know, they gave us Juneteenth off, but they didn't say, okay, just Black people Juneteenth. You know what I'm saying? They were like, everybody get Juneteenth off. And, right. and so we understand that when one wins, we all win, you know, and not this me against the world mentality. I think that, you know, we'll definitely get to wherever the sweet spot happens to be. But, you know, there's a lot of white supremacy that's involved in that too. So.
Oh, of course. Most definitely. That's the most important, right. That's the most important piece of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what motivates you to stream? So knowing that, you know, it's going to be a tough journey, and knowing that sometimes there are going to be days where, I mean, there'd be times where I would stream for like 2.5 hours and I would have nobody, you know what I'm saying? Which is extremely disheartening. But what motivates you to continue to stream?
Just knowing that there is one person out there who wants to see it and is helping them. Because for a lot of people, just watching people play video games is very therapeutic for them. And I've had people inbox me like, hey man, COVID is tough right now, man. I lost my job. But you know, you brought me back to my childhood right now. And you know, I was watching it, it kind of made me uplifted me, you know, just for that hour and a half, because you brought me back to a much simpler time to where everything was A-okay. So I appreciate that. So just knowing that there's at least one person who enjoys it, that definitely keeps me going. Because when I first started, my route was kind of different, you know, when I started, because I started during COVID, everybody was at home. And my first videos, like the first 2 months, I was popping, I was hot. I'm talking about I would average 55 viewers a stream, and I was like, I don't know how I started off like this. I was just happy if my old lady and my best friend watched, but I was getting a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And then once. Cause I'm in Texas, right? And once Texas really don't care about COVID at all. Like people just all out there. Yeah. And so once everything started to die down, viewership definitely went down. But I still have a few people who are like my ride or dies. Definitely, most of them are complete strangers, and they and I appreciate them for watching, commenting, chit-chatting with them. We have conversations, you know, and such as yourself, you know, we've all developed friendships and relationships outside of streaming, and I'm friends with them on Facebook and that kind of stuff, and supporting their endeavors and what they got going on as well. And I appreciate that. So just knowing that there's at least one person out there, it definitely keeps me going and motivated.
You know what's interesting about you, Black Curry? Or Mr. Fowler, you actually sent me my first, I think it was 200 coins.
Oh, the stars.
Yeah, 200 stars. You sent me my first set of stars. So,
oh yeah,
I was like, what, love? I got 200 stars. Right. I didn't know what that meant. And he was like, oh, that's good, you know? But so I appreciate that. That was kind of, I think that's what really kind of, you know, made me notice you. You know, obviously as we conversed and, you know, just finding out more stuff about you, I was like, oh, okay. You know, he's, you know, I went to your page and I saw that you were military, and I was like, oh, okay. You know, so, that made me more interested in getting to know you. But yeah, that's awesome. You know, that you get that love back. And I think that what it was for me is I was just way too new. And, you know, I was actually having this conversation with my therapist today, that sometimes to a fault, I have a tendency to just look for validation in the numbers. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I'm looking at the numbers like, shit, only 4 people watched me today. But in reality, thinking about it, like how you just said it, like, it's that one person that you connect to, that none else matters but that one person. And I think that's, I kind of lost sight of that when, you know, when I did my streaming, not to say the least. I ain't saying that I don't miss it. I'm gonna be straight up and honest with you. It was fun when I did it, but I don't miss not doing it. You know, I think it's cool. And I think that I'm more of a spectator. And sometimes you just have to cut your losses. Like what Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to fold them, got to know when to hold them. You know what I'm saying? And that's really the situation for me. So I don't feel bad that I don't do it anymore. It's just that I think it was a learning experience for me. So the next question I have, and then we'll kind of get into a flow of like current events. What do you think your plan is, or what is your ultimate plan for your channel? What do you see for it?
So my ultimate plan, I don't really have a concrete plan for the future. I just want to get to a point to where I just want to stream. I want to do this all day, every day. I just want to play video games all day. and got it. I mean, I got to work, apparently. You got to work to put food on the table. But sure. The concept. But I just want to get to a point to where this is what I do. And I want to show my kids, because I want them to get into it, because they enjoy video games as well. They're young now, so I'm not going to, I'm not even going to allow them to stream now, because there's some crazy folks out here in the world. But as they come of age, I want them to get into it as well. You know, streaming, playing video games, collecting, I want them to get into all of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, at this point in the conversation, I kind of talk about just whatever the current events are. And I kind of alluded to this in terms of like, before, you know, you and I went live, mm-hmm. Mr. Kevin Samuels.
So, good kid.
Yeah. I personally, and this is my opinion, and I don't want to in any way infringe on anybody's right. You know, we're 100%. Hey, son, we're 100%.
That's my mom.
Oh, hey, mama. I mean, hey, Miss Knight, how are you? But Mr. Samuels, Kevin Samuels, I think is very divisive when it comes to kind of, because I feel like when you're a social media influencer or whatever you want to call it, someone that's of caliber of status, or, you know, being able to, you know, have a platform in which he does, I think that there's a responsibility to uplifting people without downgrading others. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like a lot of times, although there may be maybe an inkling of truth in what he has to say, I think that the unfortunate part about it is he spends a lot of time disparaging the people, you know, mostly women, that he's supposedly trying to uplift. You know what I'm saying? And I think that at this point in time, right now we're divisive because we're in a racial reckoning anyway. And, you know, I think what people are craving, unfortunately, is, you know, we've been so isolated for so long that what people, I think, are craving is a chance for us to be able to get together and be on the same page. And, you know, I think that some of the stuff that he says is very polarizing. And, you know, especially when it comes to Black women, because I feel like that's where he spends most of his time. And, you know, it's, I'm not saying that he can't make those decisions for himself in terms of what he's looking for in a woman, but to generalize, you know, a subset of cultures or a subset of people based on his own experiences, I don't think is necessarily fair. You know what I'm saying? But it's interesting to me, because on that same token, I see a lot of people who agree with him, a lot of, you know, Black men who agree with him. And, you know, that's fine. That's okay. And, you know, that's great, but I just don't see it being something that will eventually bring us together, if that's the idea. You know what I'm saying? If the idea is to, you know, close that gap and bring us together and loving each other and wanting a Black man and wanting a Black woman, I don't think that that's something that he's preaching at this point. You know, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. You know, I've sat down and I've listened to a few of the things that he said, and I've seen some of the lives that have went viral, and, you know, where he was been like, you know, where he said that Beyonce was an 8 at best. And it's like, who, what, in what world is Beyonce? Like, I'm a gay man. And I know if Beyonce came up in here and was like, hey, you going with me? I would be like, bye, Carlos. Beyonce said, I gotta go. You know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, that's one particular thing that he said that I felt was very polarizing, because that isn't true. We all know that Beyonce is a beautiful woman. You don't have to downgrade Beyonce to uplift Kelly Rowland, who he said was a 9. You know, you don't have to. They can both be beautiful, you know, at the same time. You know, like most instances, you know, two things can exist in the same space and it not be an oxymoron, or and it not be, you know, this thing where, you know, we, you know, because and I see that a lot with women. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but I see it a lot. Like, for example, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, they're both great people. But the Nicki Minaj folks are like, nah, Cardi B is trash. And then the Cardi B folks is, nah, Nicki's trash. And it's like, both of them got bars, you know what I'm saying? At any given time. So that's my thought on Mr. Samuels. So,
yeah. So when it comes to Kevin Samuels, me, I have the complete opposite opinion of Mr. Kevin Samuels, because I think that he's having conversations that need to be had, because if you just look at it, a lot of people are growing old and dying alone because they have these crazy expectations of a mate, and they get that from other women. A lot of women get that from other women instead of getting the information from men. He said a lot of things that, you know, that I agree with, that I look for in a woman. You know, I don't care how much you make as a woman. You know, that's my job. You know, that's my job for me to provide. That's not going to make you more valuable to me. But Kevin as a whole, he's having conversations. He's not forcing anybody to have conversations. People seek his advice and opinions, so I think if there's an audience for that, and if you are actually helping people, you know, why not? You know, like who am I to have to express a negative opinion on that, or not? Well, you can express whatever opinion you want, but who am I to say? Because there are a lot of people out here who say that he shouldn't be allowed to say this kind of stuff. He shouldn't be allowed to have a platform, which I think is preposterous. You know, there's an audience for it. There's apparently there's a bunch of relationships, a bunch of people who've come out and stated that Kevin Samuels is the reason why they found a spouse. So I greatly appreciate that. Now his delivery can be a bit abrasive. I understand that, but it's different strokes for different folks. You know, he's not the only one out here doing it. There's a lot of people out here doing it, you know, but if it's not for you, then, cause I remember when I was in high school, mm-hmm. I was in like the 9th to 10th grade, and I had started wrestling, and I thought I was better than what I actually was. Okay. It wasn't until one of my coaches pulled me to the side, like, hey, you know, basically Kevin Samuels before Kevin Samuels was a thing. He's like, hey, you too big for your britches,
right?
You know, okay. you talking like you Stone Cold Steve Austin, but you're not that good, you know. It's that's like the what's that that show? I think it was Scared Straight or something like that, where the inmate was like, "You look dusty. Your hair is uneven."
You know, I remember that one. Yeah,
you know, and for some folks like myself, harsh criticism is what is needed. That's what's needed for me to change something about myself, and I think it's like that for a lot of people. And I think he has, number one, he's having a conversation that a lot of people don't want to have, because a lot of people don't like to hear the negative aspects of themselves. And he also unintentionally exposed something that is, I think, is a huge problem within our community. So I've been seeing a lot of this lately. I actually want your opinion on this as well, because a lot of people are coming at him, insulting him, calling him gay and all this stuff to insult him, when it's like, how, number one, what does it matter if he's gay or not? Like, why is that a thing? Why is that included in somebody's expression of?
Yeah, I feel you.
You know, like, why is that a thing? If he was, okay, and it, does that mean that his message is tainted now? And also, I thought we as Black people, when have we had a problem with gay people like that? Like, why are we using homosexuality to insult somebody?
Right.
How is that an insult? That's one thing I don't understand. Like, how is that a thing? I think it's people just look for something to discredit somebody on. Like, oh, well, I don't like what he's saying, so he's gay. But
yeah,
why is that a bad thing?
Right. I agree. And I think that there were some things that you said that, you know, were kind of, you know, interesting ways of looking at it. And I think that, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, having that level of honesty, because you're right. I'm not one of those people that take harsh criticism. Like, that's not my thing. So if you come at me like that, it's just not, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to work. And I think that's partly the reason why I probably don't digest his message in that way. But I agree. There are people who do need that level of discord to be able to make a change. So yeah, I think that that's something to be said. And I do agree with you in the sense that there is a niche for his platform. You know what I'm saying? There is definitely people who listen to what he has to say, and that it's palatable for them to be able to, you know, digest it. I guess because I've always been policed on how I sound when I talk to people, you know, that I'm very super sensitive. I'm super sensitive when it comes to, you know, how it's being said as opposed to what is actually being said. You know, I've always been told that I'm passionate for whatever reason, and people, you know, take that passion as being, you know, hostility or anger, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's just a perk of being a Black person, let alone a Black man, you know, especially if you're, you know, fat and tall like I happen to be. So, you know, there's probably a little sensitivity when it comes to that, in terms of being able to hear the entire message when it comes to Kevin Samuels. But what I think it will be very good for us to be able to see a space where he allows other people that do disagree with him to have an actual discord and a conversation that is amicable, like you and I, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like what we're having, because we're on the complete opposite end of Kevin Samuels, but I'm not trying to tear through your neck and say, nah, but let me tell you, dog, let me tell you.
Exactly.
It's not necessary. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, I understand that you are allowed to have your feelings and I'm allowed to have mine, as long as we don't disrespect each other. But, you know, you said something, another thing at the very end of that about, you know, being called gay and how it's a negative connotation. You know, me being, I've always known that I was different, you know, since I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? I remember, you know, not to go too deep into it, and I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable, but I remember having a crush on a boy, you know, at 8 years old, and I didn't know what that meant and why I did. It just felt right, I like this kid, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, over the years, you know, especially in my community, there were a lot of mixed messages where you would hear people say stuff, you know, where people would call other folks gay. And, you know, you go and you look up the definition of gay and it says that it's what you are. And, you know, if that's what he did is gay and that was a bad thing, then what he's saying about me must be a bad thing. So I'm going to stay closeted. I'm not going to, you know, go out. So that's, herein lies the situation of being a closeted gay man, you know what I'm saying? Having these repressed feelings. And it was unfortunately a lot, you know, through the religious space, which is why I'm not like super religious now, you know, I believe in God, but I think I'm more spiritual than religious. You know, that's a whole nother situation, but yes, being gay is at this point at 2021, it's still considered a bad thing, which I don't necessarily understand because,
right,
like you said, when has it ever been bad to be gay? You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's, like, why is that?
Why is that the first thing, you know, that people use to, you know, as a weapon to wield against somebody in an argument? It's like, come on. Like, it's funny because where I work, I take calls often. And it was funny because it was, the guy said, what are you, a faggot?
What? And
it was so daunting to me, like, damn, motherfucker, like you bold as shit to be able to say some stuff like that. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was just like, it was, I laughed to myself because it's like, damn, dude, you called, you was able to figure that shit out, dude. What? Like, how was you able to deduce that idea? Like, I mean, was it what I said? You know, and it was funny, you know, but yes, you know, that still happens in 2021. And I think that when it comes down to the core of, you know, homosexuality, it's considered being weak in a way, you know, we're considered, there were, and, you know, growing up, and I think, you know, men being able to kind of take that out of me and being able to see that I was this way. And then, you know, I think what happened was it became, I mean, it's a slur for sure, but it became a weapon for them to use. And there were weird dynamics that I would have with Black men about being gay. You know what I'm saying? I at the end of the day, Black Curry, if anything, you know, I love being a man. I just happen to love a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to, I don't want to be anything I'm not. Sometimes, and I said this last week, I might snap my finger. But at the core of it all, being feminine and masculine isn't what a man is to me. You know what I'm saying? Femininity and masculinity are traits. Being a man is actual human. Being a woman is actual human, not male or female, which is a scientific way that we, you know what I'm saying, that we call each other. A male is, you know, an example of a male would be looking at you and saying, oh, he's male. And then a woman next to you, oh, she's a female. But what makes them men and women is the stuff behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? The personality, the things that people do, you know, what they like, what they don't like, what makes them tick. You know what I'm saying? That's what a man is to me. That's what a woman is to me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and it's not just in the Black space. I mean, it's white people too. You know what I'm saying? All these microaggressions that I hear. Oh, you look good for it. Damn, I would never expect you to be gay. And it's like, what the fuck does that mean? What are you talking about?
That's a great word for those. I wanted to put a word to it. I couldn't quite think of it, but the microaggressions, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't have to, you know, put me down in order to uplift somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It goes back to what I just said. We're all good people, and two things can exist in the same space, you know? Right. So, But it's a lot of microaggressions that I get. And I think that's what happens when people say that, you know, when they do those kind of things, that's what microaggressions become. But, you know, to me, I've kind of evolved a little bit in terms of sexuality being fluid. You know, it's not like a stark one specific thing, you know, in terms of being 100% gay and being 100% straight. You know, it's a spectrum. But, you know, everybody has their own journey, and I'm not out here to try to, you know, convince anybody to see my way of thinking because of, you know what I'm saying, my way is better. I think that people all figure out what they need and, you know, what they have to do, you know, on their own. So, but yeah, I think that, I might go back and give Kevin Samuels a listen. You know, I think I should at least do a due diligence to myself to, you know, to be able to get the core of his message and see if it sounds a little different from me. yeah. You know, and I'm willing to do that because I don't want to be on the wrong side. I don't want to just disparage somebody for the sake of disparaging them. You know what I'm saying? So, So my next question, I know that was really a broad topic, and I appreciate you for elevating the conversation. But there's one more thing I wanted to kind of talk to you about because you, obviously, you know, being a Black man, I try my best to try to explain the experience to Carlos as much as I possibly can. And we actually had a pretty decent conversation today that kind of put it all together. But for you, being in the military, well, scratch that. For you being a Black man, I don't want to ask what that experience is like for you because I feel like that's pretty broad of a question. But given the current circumstances of everything that has happened in terms of Black lives, how are you when it comes to the Black experience? And what do you hope to see come out on the side of this once everything is, you know, settled down, I guess, for lack of a better word?
You mean like the racial climate that's going on right now?
Yeah, the racial climate, you know.
Okay, so me, I don't want it to settle down at all. No time soon, because I know we have a long way to go. So I'm very big on race relations and race when it comes to the political atmosphere, right? And so I think that we need to keep the momentum, keep our foot on the pedal when it comes to this stuff so we can get to a better place. Example, right? Since Trump got in office 2016, right? Racism has been, you know, like the theme, the theme of America, right? Oh, Trump is racist, we in racist country, right? And then ever since Biden got elected, we kind of, not even kind of, it's been put on the back burner like it doesn't exist. So now we have politicians, Black politicians, saying that America isn't a racist country. Well, if people whom Black people voted for are saying that America isn't a racist country, and we out here are talking and trying to get legislation passed for racism, in particular anti-Black racism, now it looks like we don't know what we're talking about. We're not going to be taken serious anymore because we took our foot off the pedal. We are allowing people to downgrade and discredit our plight in America. Example, right? Mm-hmm. They just recently passed the anti-Asian crime bill, yeah. Right? Which is great, you know? That's what they're supposed to do, you know? If a specific group of people are going through some things,
right?
Help those people. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
My only issue is that I've been saying for years, a lot of people have been saying for years that we need legislation specifically passed for Black Americans.
Right.
Or at least not even pass anything new. Enforce the laws that are on the books, because we have laws. That should protect Black Americans, but it is not being enforced. And people, I'm talking about people, laughed at me. People told me I was dumb. People told me that I was ignorant. I shouldn't be speaking on politics because the American government, it will never pass legislation for a specific race of people.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting around, I'm like, I'm actually going to these people. Like, what were you saying?
Keep that same energy.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep the same energy because clearly they can and they will and they have done. And it's crazy because if I'm wrong or if I don't know something, I'm willing to listen and hear somebody out, you know, without disrespecting them. And so when I say literally, I mean, I'm inboxing these people, I'm tagging these people and stuff. Like, hey, they just passed it. Something you told me could never happen. And I don't get that same energy. They're quiet. They act like they don't see it. But it's like, yo, we have to keep our foot on the pedal. Don't let up now because, you know, the Democrats are back in office. Because we see cities, Atlanta, Minneapolis, LA, New York, or I don't know about New York, but all of these cities, Democratic cities where Black people are being killed at a disproportionate rate by law enforcement.
True.
And we're talking about some of them Black Democratic judges. We got Democratic mayors, Democratic DAs who are just allowing this stuff to happen. So it's like, it's bigger than just, it's not just a blue and red thing. It's bigger than just Democratic versus Republican. It's really bigger than just Black and white, because just because you have a Black face in office does not mean that that Black face has your best interests in mind and at heart. You know, Clarence Thomas is a perfect example of that, you know. And so I just don't want us to take our foot off the gas, and at the same time, I would rather have tangible victories versus symbolic victories. Because there's no Black person in America, not one, who was complaining about Aunt Jemima being on a syrup bottle. Didn't ask for that. Want y'all to stop killing us.
That's true. That is 100% true. You're right. You know?
And people see this and they're like, yes, that's a victory for us. Right. Or I even go as far as to say, you know, Kamala Harris being voted into office. Like, oh, this is a victory for us.
Right.
If she don't have, if she is not doing anything for you, then it's not a victory. It's not a victory if she's doing something against you. I'd rather have tangible victories than just something symbolic. You take down a couple statues, all right, you know.
Right.
Cool. But take away the legislation that statue put into office, put into existence, you know.
That's true. That's a good point, man. Like, I love how you put all that together, because you're right. You know, they did pass an anti-Asian hate bill, but, you know, anti-lynching is still on the floor. Still, and there are people that are on the opposite side of that. It's interesting to me. You know, and it's, you know, another level and layer to this to me, as well, as, you know, we're fighting for just to be seen as humans. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I think that part of this goes back to when amendments were, you know, written, you know, in terms of being three-fifths of a man. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I feel like a lot of what, you know, Demetrius Mack pulled the
that's my brother.
Okay. But yeah, you know, it's funny, because at the end of the day, we're not asking for anything more than just being looked at as human. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, you know, for Black lives to be as controversial as it is, it's really at the core of it just being treated like a human.
Exactly. And not
using, you know, my passion as weapons, or my skin tone, or my, you know, other aspects of, you know, what makes me Black to be something, you know, to weaponize it in a way to where you don't see me as a human. And, you know, I agree with you. I did, you know, vote for Kamala and Joe Biden. You don't have to put out, you know, who you vote. And I respect that. But I said, you know, when they did come into office, that they are no different than anybody else. And if they don't do what they need to do, we're going to vote their ass out too.
Exactly.
So, you know, it didn't just take us, you know, getting activated to get Trump out of office in order for us to move things forward. We still have to continue to do the work that will keep us above, you know, these issues. I mean, I think the frustrating part for me sometimes about this conversation is when we go out and we do all these marches and we rally up and we do these things, but nothing changes. It's very disheartening, you know, because it's like when Derek Chauvin's trial was going on, we lost two more people that week. We lost Tyre Bryant and we lost Deontay Wright for no reason, you know? And I'm done with having these conversations about people being the reason for their own death. Like, I'm not even trying to start the conversation there. This point, what we need to talk about is what we need to do to make this shit stop. Because at the end of the day, you can sit here and say that George Floyd was this horrible person who did porn, who did all these things that was not very nice, but you cannot deny the fact that he was arrested for a nonviolent crime and we saw him being killed, you know, on TV in real time. Same thing with Philando Castile, same thing with Alton Sterling, same thing with Terry Crutcher, same thing with, you know, Trayvon Martin, same thing with all these people, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, all these people. And the thing is, that's so enraging to me, Mr. Fowler, is the fact that I remember these people's names. You know what I'm saying? Right. These ghosts lay with me. So when I show up in the world being the Black man that I am, I can't help but be passionate when I see people who look like me being killed in a manner in which people don't give a shit about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can't not be passionate. I can't not be upset. You know what I'm saying? What I hear people say when they say that is that I need to be more palatable to white people or others so they don't see me as a threat. When in reality, I have a valid concern.
Right.
I'm going to tell you a situation, and I told the story early, and I'm gonna truncate it. I'm going to be real speedy about it because I respect your time, brother. So, but a year ago, and it's interesting because I'm going to tell you this. Carlos was in a car accident, got a new car, I would say a month later. Every time I've gone to the fucking dealership, it takes hours. You know, they got to get vendors, they got to get people to, you know, approve the loan and figure out this other stuff. They want me to put money down and all these things. And his situation was completely different. That wasn't his, you know, he literally went up there. We were there for an hour, got the car, and then we left. So I go in and I get my car, my Kia Sorento that I have now. And I go down there and they approve me. It was like, take the car. You know, come back tomorrow. We'll sign all the paperwork and get all that stuff done. I do that. We still working on it. What are we working on? Trying to get you a lender. Okay, I don't know how the finance part works. Fast forward 2 weeks later, me and Carlos goes down there, and me and Carlos, can you take that off of him? Huh? Can you take that off of him? 2 weeks later, I go back down, and I wanted my second key. You know what I'm saying? Because I only had the first key that they gave me, and you're supposed to get a second key. Yeah, I know. That's what brought this up today. And this morning I left my keys in Carlos's car, and he had to come home and get off work, you know, because these motherfuckers hadn't given me my second key. But anyway, I go down there and I was just going to go get my second key. And they were like, yeah, we need some more verification. We still don't have a lender. I'm like, my motherfucking car is gone. What are you talking about?
Right.
You mean you ain't got no lender? It's been 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, hold on. What are you guys telling me? You know what I'm saying? Because at this point, my car is gone. I don't have that car anymore. And I have this car, and you're telling me, or at least saying to me, that I'm about not to have a car if I don't get this approval done. Like, what happened, and why wasn't I called? So I'm as hype as I am now, because it's like, I'm thinking to myself, like, this is what I use to go back and forth to work. You know what I'm saying? The whole entire time, they're policing my tone. Oh, calm down, sir. You got to understand, this is business, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, do you not understand that I won't have a car? Because my car is gone. You guys have already sold my vehicle. I had a rightful reason to be upset. Rather than them taking the consideration and understanding what was going on, they spent more time policing my tone than actually figuring out what the situation was.
Right. Like, you want to police his tone, fix the situation. Watch how fast he calmed down.
So it's like, calm down, sir. I don't understand. This is business. I'm like, but my car though. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're past this point of my car not. Like, my car is gone, and I don't see any other solution, because I know y'all ain't going to give me another vehicle. I know that's not going to happen. And I damn sure don't want to be sitting around here trying to, you know, figure out what I'm going to do to get another vehicle. And it was just, it was interesting for me to see this, because it was almost like this shit was happening, and it was outside of me. Like, I was outside of my body. You know what I'm saying? And I'm watching this happen. It was just like, I think at that point, I realized that I did have a different experience than everybody else. And Carlos was able to see it firsthand that I'm not making this shit up.
Right.
Because what happens when we see this stuff happens with us, it is an out-of-body experience. It's like, this shit cannot be happening right now. I'm looking for the other Black person in this room so they can verify what I'm seeing. Because maybe this is in my head, because we're so used to being told that that's not true. You shouldn't feel that way. That's not how that works. All the other things to keep us from feeling how we feel. You know what I'm saying? And I end up leaving, and it still wasn't resolved. Eventually it got resolved, and I had to, you know, go in and do extra steps with sending, you know, like they, you know, my commission check. And I make pretty good money doing what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a pretty good salesperson. I'm a sales insurance sales agent. And, you know, so I don't half step when it comes to, like, if I want it, I'm going to get it. That's where I'm at this point in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I want 15 things from the menu, I'm buying it. Like, I'm not asking what it costs. And that's not me being arrogant or anything. That's just the way I am. I'm old enough now to know that I work hard. So as a result of me working hard, I'm going to get the things that I want, you know? So I say all that to say, you know, you're right about us not taking our feet off the gas, because we have to stop behaviors like this from happening to other people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because what happens is in these situations, it keeps us from being able to just express how we feel. We have to dim ourselves in order for us to be palatable for other people. And now nobody else has to go through that. No one else has to experience that. No one else has to put themselves in that position. When there's racist acts committed against us, all of us, we take that home. We don't get the chance to take off our skin color and be somebody else. We don't get to compartmentalize racism. You know what I'm saying? So you're right. The work isn't done. It is not over. And we need to do whatever it takes to make sure that we fix this shit, because I'm tired of it.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
So I say all that to say, Mr. Curry, Mr. Black Curry, I appreciate you. I do. And I appreciate you elevating the conversation. And you've dropped some very good nuggets here that gave me an opportunity to think about things a little differently. And I appreciate that. So, you know, and I'm glad that you were, you know, at a drop of a notice. I literally reached out to you a week ago and was like, hey, man. You know, you're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So I appreciate that. And I want to give you the opportunity to be able to, you know, plug your stuff and, you know, anything, any other endeavors that you have going on that you want to talk about, and, you know, any lasting words that you may have.
First of all, I want to thank you again for allowing me to come onto your platform, and you know, we just have casual conversation because it's not seen enough in our community, you know. So I greatly appreciate that, you know, because it elevates the conversation. Well, not elevates the conversation, but it broadcasts the conversation to people who want to see things like that, you know. I'm sure there are going to be more people who watch this after the live is done, you know. And so I do appreciate you for having me on. For everybody who's watching, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Facebook at RetroMu64. That's where I stream video games, or you can just add me on Facebook at Black Curry, BlackCurry, Black Curry. I like thinking of myself as a pretty chill dude. I like to have conversations. I'm a very opinionated person. I think the word I'm looking for is multifaceted. Is that the word I'm looking for? Because, you know, I can do the video game thing. We can get political. We can talk race. We can talk about anything because I'm very intelligent on a bunch of different subjects. And I do enjoy these conversations, especially at work, especially at work, because people don't expect for, honestly, just to be quite frank, people don't expect for Black people in general to have these conversations in public at work at that, you know. So, and I'm not, I never sugarcoat or downplay my or our plight to appease someone else. Like you were mentioning how they want us to calm down, say things in a certain way just to appease somebody else. No, that's not how this is going to work. It's not how it's going to go. But yeah, I do appreciate conversations like that. So thank you for having me on, brother. I'm sure this won't be the last.
No, absolutely.
You got me as a supporter, so I greatly appreciate it, man. And keep doing what you're doing. You and Carlos, please keep on keeping on.
Can you just come over here for a second? Because this man has been talking and he has not seen you.
But yeah, definitely keep on. What's going on, Carlos?
How are you?
All right. But yeah, y'all, please keep doing what you're doing. I promise you there's an audience for it. You know, there are people out there whom are in similar situations just as you, and they probably sitting there like, hey,
yeah,
they look like me, they look like us. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what they got to say. So please keep going. Thanks, please keep going.
I appreciate that. That's you know, that was very nice, and you're gonna get me in my feelings here for a second, but you know, you definitely made it easier. And I was gonna, you know, add this one last little caveat. Just like you said, you know, the thing about it is with all that being said, when people are policing us and you actually have people who are out there terrorizing people. You have actual Karens and Chads out there that are terrorizing people's lives. And I'm over here just complaining about a particular situation that impacts me greatly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And all I'm asking for is just a shed in the terms of, you know, the humanistic quality. We have to go back to understanding that we are not just 3/5 of a person, and that, you know, we are human. Yep. And that's the bottom line, you know? So, yeah. Thank you so much, everybody, for the opportunity here. Black Curry, you have really amazed me, my brother. I appreciated it, you know, for you coming here, and I wish you much success. I definitely am a supporter of you and your beautiful wife and your children, even though I have never seen them. I assume they are super cute because of the way y'all be talking to them on live.
You know, they walked in and walked out.
Yeah, they super chill. Y'all be like, all right, go to bed now. And they be like, okay. So I appreciate you being the gentleman that you are, and you representing us in more ways than one. And continue to do what you do. And if there's anything that I can do to help and, you know, help and push you or even be a words of kindness or whatever, please let me know. because I'm definitely going to be there for you. I mean, you got a supporter for life in me, and I'm not just saying that. So, Kyrie is waving at you, by the way.
What's going on?
So, thanks, brother. I appreciate you. Mama, he did good. Miss Fowler, you got a good one. Keep this man. Cook for him if you. yeah, thank you for being another Georgia Bud, man. I appreciate it. It's good to see you. Right. You know, I'm just, you know, full of gratitude. You filled my heart in terms of what my intention was tonight. You exceeded my expectations in more ways than one. So,
thank you, brother.
But go ahead, subscribe, like, share, follow Reggie's Expressions on Instagram. It's Reggie's_expressions. I'm putting S's at the end of that. On Facebook, it's Reggie's, R-E-G-G-E-E, apostrophe S, expressions at the end. No space, no underscore, well, space, no underscore. You can hit me on Anchor. I am on Spotify, Google, and pretty much anywhere you get your podcast casted. So this is nationwide here. Slight flex, but... we are all over the place. And, you know, those of you who support me, I appreciate you. And anybody that is willing to support, all you got to do is go on Anchor. It will take you to the landing page, and I'll make sure I put my link on the description, and you can go and support. Any donation is appreciated. And there's different levels that you guys can choose from. All right. So enjoy the rest of your night. We appreciate you. Thanks again, Mr. Fowler. Enjoy the rest of your day, and stay black.
All right. Y'all take it easy now.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.